Thank you. Yeah, do not send that note. There would be a furball. I'm getting all kinds of texts. He's texted me more on this trip than ever before. How you doing? Things going great? We can't wait for you to get back. So he's a little concerned too. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. He just texted me just before church. Can't wait for you to get back. We have lots of work to do. So anyways, the Lord is in control, amen. And He guides us. And just as Pastor just said, we don't know the end from the beginning, but we just keep one step in front of the other, and the Lord shows us. And we're thankful for what the Lord has done in our lives, and I hope you can say the same thing about yours, that you're thankful for what He's doing. Hebrews chapter 2, I'm going to preach a message about the dangers of drifting. I don't think that's drifting would be a term that you're not used to hearing, and you understand the danger of it. April of 2012, a fellow by the name of David Baxter was walking on a beach of an island called Middleton Island, which is in the Gulf of Alaska, about 70 miles from the mainland Alaska. And Dave came across a ball. Now, that's not that unusual if you're walking on a beach. That happens. He saw a soccer ball. And he got closer, and he saw that that soccer ball had some writing on it that he was definitely not familiar with. And he, with his wife, figured out that it was Japanese. And they took that ball and did some research, and they actually found it was Japanese. And they actually found the owner of it and sent it back to the little boy in Japan who lost that ball in the great tsunami that got drifted across the ocean. The soccer ball was the first significant piece of material that came to hit the Pacific shore from that massive situation. And the ball had no propulsion, did it? It didn't have a little motor on 3,000 miles from Japan to Alaska. How to get there? It simply drifted with the currents of the ocean. 1 mile at a time. I'm sure it was in some pretty doozer storms out there and high waves. It just floated on until it reached the shore. Far away from the owner of it, right? A long ways. Now, drifting is an interesting phenomenon. I mean, we like to do that once in a while, you know, maybe get in our little boat on the lake and just put our feet back and drift along a little bit. You don't have to do anything to drift, do you? It's totally relaxing. There's absolutely no effort. Just do it. Just lay there or sit there, put your feet up on the gunwale boards or whatever, and just enjoy it. But it can't be dangerous. Just recently, we went on a tubing, so you're drifting down a river around Brantford on the Grand River, and a friend of mine, Arvik, he was on a tube. He said, I wasn't paying attention. I was just drifting, enjoying my Coca-Cola, and he got snarled up in trees and almost drowned. Because he wasn't paying attention. He was just drifting. You know, wasn't paying attention to those around us. Now, God specifically warns us that we must take care so that we won't spiritually drift from Him. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Jesus, thank You for another time we have to be together. Thank You for this dear church. And Lord, I pray You encourage them, help them. And Lord, help us all to understand the dangers of drifting and make sure and make changes in our lives that we are not drifting away from You. Lord, I pray these things in Your holy and precious name. Amen. So I want to look at two things in particular that are dangerous. Because if we do them, we're drifting away. First of all, drifting because of disobedience. Drifting because of disobedience. On June 8, 1982, a flight took off from São Paulo, Brazil, without incident. It was going to a little further inland, a more mountainous area. It would be another routine trip. And upon descending into the airport there, the flight took a deadly turn. The problem didn't come from a faulty flight plan. Didn't come because a mechanic didn't tighten up the nuts and things on the airplane. Any of you ever watch Mayday? Okay, I watch it all the time. It's all about air disasters. Never watch that before you go on an airplane, though. Okay, but I watch them all the time and things. And so I understand some things. Things happen. But none of that took place. Rather, it all fell to the disobedience of one man. And that was the pilot. The pilot decided to rely on his instincts. He disobeyed orders. And he took his plane below 5,000 feet, which he was not supposed to do. And even though the alarms were blaring in the cockpit, and though his co-pilot told him, you know, we need to go up, he continued to descend. And within moments, the plane crashed in the side of a mountain at 2,500 feet, and everyone perished. All hands. The cause of the crash was absolutely pilot error. He ignored the flight plan. He ignored the warnings. He failed to listen. I mean, what a dummy. Really. But the reality is, his actions affected 136 other people and their families in a tragic way. And we shudder when we hear stories like that. And I'm always hoping the guy that's getting up in that cockpit is not like that dummy, but he's really concerned about getting me there safe and sound. All right? But we shudder at that, and we're like, why didn't he follow the rules? I mean, I know, I've got some friends in the airline industry, and they tell me all the rules they have to follow. And we're like, why? Now, let me put it to you this way. Why don't we follow the rules? Why don't we? And I'm pointing at myself, just like everyone else here. Why don't we follow the rules? And we disobey the statutes and laws of God, preferring to act and react based upon our emotion instead of what we know to be true. And you say, well, yes, I do that. Well, you're not alone. We all do it. Every one of us do it. In Genesis shows the first man and woman on earth did that. And that's not news to you. And we can easily drift in dangerous territory when we disobey and we neglect the truth. Disregarding God's commandments is going to get us drifting from God. It's going to get us to places we don't want to be. It's incredible to think that when Moses was gathering those Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, the children of Israel are down below breaking number two at the foot of the mountain. God gave those commandments to be obeyed. He did those to help us and help them, the children of Israel, to conduct themselves in the right manner. Too often we get caught up in our own feelings or in bad advice of others or act in a way that is contrary to the will of God. Now, we need to get away from getting on phone chain and find out what I should do, and you need to get in the Bible and find out what you should do. All right, there's nothing wrong with good counselors. Now, I understand that, but 1,500 of them on the gospel line is not the right ones for you. All right, you need to get in God's Word and find out what it is. You know, as I mentioned to you this morning about how I was looking for the Lord to lead and direct, I didn't phone every pastor I knew. And it's I really hope the secret doesn't get out on you, Brother Tim, but to tell a bunch of people to keep a secret is like, it's out. you know, it's impossible. It's like, oh, I got something juicy to tell you. You know, so the reality is we need to understand that we need to go to God's Word and see what He has for us. And we can see that in the lives of individuals in the Bible who they got caught up in their own feelings or said, oh, I know better, or listened to their own advice or someone else's. I think of Lot's wife. She thought better, didn't she? And she looked back. Moses, a great man of God. He disobeyed and it had its price. He couldn't enter the promised land. Disobedience is costly. But good news, God richly rewards His children who are obedient to His commandments. He takes care of His own. And we can get so busy trying to serve God that we unconsciously move Him out of our focus in our lives. You're just doing the motions. You know, have you ever seen someone who comes to work, you know, they're sipping their coffee and they punch in and it just seems like they're a robot. You know, they're not really focused. They just got to punch the time to get home again and get their paycheck on Friday. I hope that's not how you view serving Jesus Christ. This is a great opportunity, and we need to make sure that it's important that we heed the words of 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." God wants us to live lives that are obedient and honoring to Him. He desires our hearts to be on Him. Not doing it in our own flesh, but desiring Him. Look over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The pilot of Flight 168 did not follow regulations that he had been taught. He had many hours in that cockpit, but he did not listen. He thought he could do it his way, was better, or was right, and it ended horribly. So we must remember that we need to do it God's way and follow His word and understand to get in it and understand it's profitable for us and dive in it and be immersed in God's word and be faithful to the truth that we learn from God and His word. We need to committed Christians today. We don't need half-hearted Christians. When you love someone, do you go halfway? You can respond. Do you go halfway? You can just shake your head, nod your head. I don't really care which way you respond. No, you don't go halfway. I don't love my kids halfway. They wouldn't be very excited if I told them more morning when we got in the car and started driving, now Dad does not love you the rest of the way home. That would not be a fun journey. All right? And the reality is, if we're loving the Lord, we should be loving Him all the way. Amen? And that's what the desire of the Lord is, for us to love Him, and He loves us. And see what He'll do for us, and see what He'll use us to do for Him. As I told you this morning, I'm excited, I'm scared, and sometimes I want to hide underneath my bed because with the opportunity lays before, such a large responsibility, but some great opportunities. Now, I want to see what the Lord will do. I want to be that servant that the Lord can use. So we got to watch out for drifting because of disobedience, and we need to watch out for drifting because of rebellion. Rebellion is a willful and purposeful action that is meant to upend or mock the law or authority. In any society, rebellion is dangerous. Okay, it is. It's just, it doesn't matter what society, what country, it's dangerous. But rebelling against all the law of Almighty God is outrageous. You're not going to win that battle. You're going to lose. For His ways are eternal, and He's a living God. And it's one thing to sin in the moment. You know, someone says something. I was watching some America's Funniest Home Videos with the kids this afternoon. This little one was pushing the brother away, and the other guy clocked him in the head with the shovel. Now, I laughed. I thought it was kind of funny. He landed in a snowbank, and you know, but he reacted improperly, right? That was a moment decision. He didn't ponder there for half an hour. Now, what shall I do to him? No, he just whacked him right in the head, and down he went. The idea here of the rebellion is that you're willfully and willingly violating. You're thinking about how you can violate the will or the law of God. When we think about rebellion, one of the individuals come to my mind for the Bible is Jonah. Jonah, God told him to preach to the Ninevites, and he went the opposite direction. And he didn't get lost. He didn't get on one of those roundabouts, didn't know how to get off. Okay? He willingly did it, and he knew what he was doing. And then he got in up in that belly of that fish or whale, whatever. Gross. Ooh, just a thought of it. And he gets things right, and he gets back up on shore, and he gets to Nineveh, and he preaches. But he's still rebelling because he's upset that the city's not destroyed. I mean, talking about a great revival, the whole city of Nineveh comes to the Lord, and he's out there boo-hooing because they're not being destroyed. See how his rebellion drifted him away from God's purposes for him? Well, our rebellion will do the same. And thankfully, the Bible's full of examples of men who did that, and God graciously brought them back into the fold. Amen? Though we can get away from what we need to be, we can get back to where God wants us to be. Rebelling against the Word of God. So, you know, to be able to rebel against the Word of God, we must know God's Word. On an intimate level, and probably a great candidate for this point, is King David. He was a man after God's own heart. Your Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. That was written by the hand of David. That was a man who lived and breathed the Scripture, who desire was to behold the beauty of the Lord, Psalm 27:4. Yet he did some really bad stuff. David knew full well what he was doing when he seduced Bathsheba. He let his power go to his head and decided he'll take care of this regardless of what might be around, whether it's right or wrong. He compounded his rebellion, his wrongdoing, and his sin by eventually getting his Uriah killed on the battlefield, making the cover up. Lust and power and the willful sin of adultery eventually ended up in the murder of a good man. Wow. I mean, what a horrible progression. And just to think that David was not the enemy of God. This is a man according to Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. So don't think for a moment that you can't drift away from God. You need to be watching out. You got to be mindful all the time. So we're rebelling against the word of God and rebelling against the will of God. We can also rebel against God's plan for us, that God's laid out for us. While Jonah is a classic example of a wayward behavior, the prodigal son is a really good example of this as well. The younger son decides, you know, I'm going to read the whole story. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with it. But, you know, he wants to get underneath the father's authority. He despises the rules and thinks that he'll have way more fun without dad around. So he approaches his father and requests that he be given his inheritance. Talk about a disrespectful young man and extremely hurtful to the father. But you know what I found out about rebellious individuals, Pastor Holman? I don't know if you found this. They don't care about anybody but themselves. That's what a rebellious person's like. They don't care about anybody else but themselves. The prodigal took his portion of the family wealth and walked away. And note here that there's no retaliation on the father to attempt him to stop or discipline him. He's probably a young man now at any rate, so he's an adult. I don't know, but that must have been awful hard to absorb as a father. The father's heart is broken by the son's willful act of rebellion, but he still loves his son. Just as that prodigal father's heart was wounded by his son's rebellion, I think our heavenly father's heart is wounded by our sin. And our rejection and our rebellion as well. But neither the father of the prodigal nor the father in heaven will ever stop loving that wayward child. You know, always there to help if they would return. And we need to make sure that we don't fall to the lies of the devil that says that we send our way out of God's heart. But that can't happen. Listen, once I talked about it this morning, once we're saved, we're always saved. Amen. We have assurance of that. Now, that's not to say that we can get way far from God. We definitely can. But I'm so glad that God's arms are wide open for us to come home. Amen. He's there waiting for us to come home. We have sinned away and gotten away from God, but He'll never stop loving us. That father desired and hoped and prayed that that son would return and he would regret his behavior. And that's exactly what happened. And his son headed for failure. In spite of the agony and rejected love, the father allowed that son to leave. And we know about the parable that he would return. But he experienced some things that he never thought he would experience, right? Lost everything in a dirty old pig's pen. The most powerful learning experiences that we often have or are encountered on the unexpected consequences of our actions. We learn a lot when we make decisions and we realize as we get through it, oh, I did not expect this to happen. You know, we need to understand that our consequences do, our choices have consequences, and sometimes are way beyond what we thought. The father could have tried to describe the pain to his son, what he was about to experience, but the prodigal would not have listened, would he? He says, mine was made up. Give me my money, Dad. I'm out of here. I don't care what you say. I'm going to live the life I want to live. You're not going to say anything about it. Could God not stop us from making the painful decision to journey away from Him? He certainly can. He's Almighty God. But He knows, or He wants us to be with Him because we desire to be with Him. Now, God gave us free will, didn't He? He did. And He wants us to choose Him. And to serve Him, and to love Him, and to follow Him. You know, the how can we avoid the process that I just talked about, when the different things of rebelling against the word and the will of God is, we saw David and Jonah and the son, the prodigal son. You know what was all their root problem? Was extreme pride. Yes. Extreme pride. So the antidote to rebelling against God is simply constantly surrendering to His perfect will. I surrender, just like we sang this morning, an invitation. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. It's good to remember the words of Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in the man that walketh to direct his steps. The idea is, I can't direct my steps. I need the Lord to direct my steps. I need His guidance. I need His will. I need to follow it. If we're going to be surrendered to the Lord, we need to be praying, don't we? We need to be praying that the Lord would show us. Jesus prayed at Luke 5:16, and He withdrew himself, into the wilderness and prayed. If our Savior, the Son of God, need to pray, we need to pray too. We need to be in prayer. God answers prayer. I talked about that at camp this week. God answers prayer. Maybe not the way you want it to be answered, and maybe not exactly on your timetable, but God answers prayer. If you'll pray for the Lord to direct and guide your heart, I guarantee you, you will not be drifting in rebellion away from Him. If you're sincere in your prayer life and you desire what God has for your life, we need to surrender our lives to Him. You know, as individuals, we think that we get it all figured out, don't we? Hey, today I turned 41. I got it all figured out. I don't really know too much. I need the Lord to help me. I need the Lord to help me. But we say, I got this under control. I can figure this thing out. No, I need the Lord. You need the Lord. You need to be following His path for your life. We've seen too many testimonies of individuals who thought they had it all figured out, and they haven't, and their lives are in shambles today. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Hey, we live a way better life. We have a more productive life. We live a life that brings glory to God when we follow what He has for us. And what God has for us is not drifting away from Him. You know, when that ball from Japan began to drift, I mean, obviously it did not have his own will. It's a material. It's a ball. But if it had a desire, it wasn't to go to Alaska. Maybe Hawaii, but not Alaska. Well, when we start drifting away from God, we're not propelling ourselves. We're just letting whatever way the wind goes or whatever way the current goes to bring us. And if you're leaving your life to the drift and tide of this world, you're in some serious trouble, my friend. You don't want to be where it ends up. No, you follow God. You propel with God. You find what He wants for you and you live for Him. Life is much better when we surrender to God and let Him have His rightful place. And that is first place in our lives. You know, we see examples from our Savior Jesus Christ that He submitted Himself to the will of the Father. So should we be willing to submit to Him. We'll follow Him. It may be difficult. Actually, it will be difficult. Let's just be really honest. It will be difficult. But praise the Lord, we're never without hope.
Amen.
Hope. We're never without it. Today, Christian, how is it with you? How is it with you? Are you drifting along? Are you bobbing up and down like that ball did for 3,000 miles North Pacific Ocean? Because of disobedience or rebellion. There's all kinds of other things we could put in there as well. If you are, let me encourage you to allow the Lord to work in your heart. The Lord wants nothing more for you to serve Him again, to love Him again. The dangerous drifts are not age specific. You can be a young person and drift away from God. You can be an older folk and drift away from God. It doesn't matter your age, physical age, doesn't matter your spiritual age, how long you've been saved. We can all get to these places. These men I mentioned, David and Jonah, I mean, they're men of God. Don't think that you're immune. We need to watch out. Maybe you've let disobedience just have a little place in your heart. That's how it starts. Just a little place. Maybe you've let just a little start, a little beachhead for rebellion in your heart to the Lord. Oh, let me encourage you this evening to get that right. Get that taken care of. Be propelled by the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't drift. Follow God's Word. Dear Jesus, thank You for another day. And Lord, thank you for this dear church and these dear folks. And Lord, help us not to be drifting in this life. You have a plan for us. Help us to follow it. I pray, Lord, you move in our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Pedro.
Amen. Just remain with your heads bowed and eyes closed. And